Well, thank God for hope this morning.
Amen.
We won't have choir practice today, but thank God for hope.
Amen.
There are some people that I think of when I think about hope, and boy, I'll tell you, it gets me fired up looking over there, that fellow in the red shirt there, man, there's hope. Man, I love Brother Mike, and I know how things were, man, but there's hope, amen.
Amen.
There's hope in a man named Jesus.
Yeah.
I said there's hope in a man named Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, there's nothing in this world that gives you hope like Jesus Christ would. Amen. It might give you hope for a season. You might hope people get better when they're sick. But there's hope in a man named Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I'm going to preach to you in Judges chapter 1. Pray for that. I'm going to preach about victory. And all the songs pretty much been talking this morning about victory, even the congregation songs. I just know that there's some people that need to get some victory over things in their life. And the way you're going to get victory is by Jesus Christ. Because there's hope in a man named Jesus. There's a man that was a preacher that was painting a house. And he began painting this house, and he was painting all day long, and he ran out of paint. It was getting real low, you know, so he decided they'll just go ahead and fill up the paint buckets with water. And he began to paint the rest of the church, and it took him all day to paint the church. And that night, it rained terribly, terribly bad. I mean, thunder and lightning so bad, and when he got up, all the paint was washed off the church. He began to say, God, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? I tried to do everything for you. And he said he heard a voice. And he said, repaint and thin no more.
Amen.
Amen. I come up with corny jokes. That right there, as corny as they come. But I like it, man. It tries to set you up there. Brother Jack always says, I'm trying to set you up for something today. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm going to talk to you about victory. Now, life is full of victories. No doubt about it. A lot of times we see it in sports. And you can always tell the outcome. You know, the strongest team usually wins the title. You have the toughest and smartest boxer usually wins the belt. And there's things that you can always see, but there's some victories that you can't always see.
Amen.
And we're going to start out with this thing being a little positive, and then we're going to get into it a little bit. I think it's awesome that you guys can find some small victories in your life. Like, for example, the things that people don't see is when you're about to blow up and you're about to lose control and you're able to just calm down. And that's a victory. Some of us this morning have problems with just that. That they can't shut their mouth. They got to be right all the time. Hello?
Come on.
They start fights constantly. I'm not talking about right fights. I'm just talking about just to be right.
Amen.
There's also times when you get a victory when that temptation that consistently is knocking at your door, that you're able to resist that temptation.
Yeah.
That's a victory.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about victories this morning. Maybe the temptation may come to you, and maybe you'll pause and you'll think about it. Maybe you'll pray about it. Maybe you'll have a verse that come back to your mind because the Word of God doesn't return void. And maybe at that time you're able to step back from the temptation and maybe even pray about it. That's a victory, amen.
Yeah.
And there's some victories that you just can't get over. There's some things in your life that you haven't got a victory over, those small things. How are you going to get a victory over great big things in your life?
Yeah.
I'm talking about victory this morning. I sit there and I think as we begin to sing and I look at everybody in the church, I'm saying is, have they ever experienced the victory that Jesus Christ gives?
Yeah.
We're going to get into the victory a little bit more this morning, but have you ever, before we get farther, have you ever experienced or encountered a victory that God gave you?
Amen.
If you haven't, wait a minute, you better check up on yourself. I have had some victories in my life, and I thank God that I was able to overcome some things. Well, I love to hear the story of an addict that has victory in overcoming drug addiction. I love it. I like to hear of a story where a man that or a woman might have been hooked on heroin and other things and drinking and carrying on, and they're able to overcome it by the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I love to hear those stories. I like to hear the stories where the ones that are addicted to pornography no longer look at it. That's a victory. I like the ones that don't smoke anymore. That's a victory. And boy, these might be outward victories, and there's all sorts of victories in your life, but I'm just trying to say, have you ever experienced a victory?
Amen.
All right, as we go on down there, there's some battles that you're supposed to win. There's just some battles that you're supposed to win. You know what? You're down there on the court, and you're playing ball as hard as you can, but you get blindsided with a three-pointer at the buzzer, and you lose by one. Or how about you're winning the fight the whole entire time, and that left hook that you weren't counting on knocks you right to the ground? There are some victories that you're supposed to obtain. There are some battles that you're supposed to win. But if you don't guard yourself, if you don't have the preparation of being a champion, you're going to lose. And then there's some battles. There's some battles that you know that you're supposed to lose. Watch it now. I've been in times before. I'll tell you one story that we were playing for the PAL Basketball League in Smyrna, Delaware. And Dave, Brother Dave, which used to be our deacon in our church, he was our coach. And we had, you were there, Brother Eddie, you were there in that team. Matter of fact, I got a witness, so here we go. Good. I'm not going to lie this morning. I like when people are there to keep me straight so I don't have to infringe on the story. Anyhow, so we're going to play this game, all right? And we're going to play this team in Wilmington, Delaware. And I don't know if you remember this year, but we was on a real bad area in Delaware. We went to this PAL basketball thing, and we all walked up in there. We're from Smyrna. We don't know crime at this time in Smyrna. Nothing is going bad in Smyrna. Maybe some horse and buggies might ride down the road. Maybe some jaywalkers. I don't know what might happen. But we don't know things in Smyrna, okay? We don't know much at this time 20 years ago or so. I'm sure there's sin. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't like it is now. But anyhow, so here we go. We go to this downtown Wilmington, and we play this team, and every player on the team was 6 foot or taller. And we get out there, Brother Mike, and before the game starts, we hear, everybody ducks, dives, and there we all are. I'm looking at Samson. Dwayne's looking at me. We don't know what happened. There was actually gunshots outside this place. So we're there trying to play basketball. Am I right so far? I'm truthing it. All right. So we're out there playing basketball there, and we lose this game 97-11. I mean, it was over before it started. I wanted to walk out so bad, but there's some battles you're supposed to lose. You know, your friends will tell you, it's not about win or lose, and it's just how you play the game. You ever heard that before? I want to slap whoever came up with that. I'm playing for a victory here. I'm going to let you know what right now. When I'm over next door, Clinton and Brother David will tell you, there's times when I begin to play basketball on Sunday nights where the smile goes away. I become an assassin on the court. I didn't come there to shake hands. I come there to demolish, smash them in the ground, walk away with my hands raised like I won the NBA championship. I ain't that bad, but anyhow. But there's some fights, you know the look that your family gives you.
Yeah.
Give it your best. Who says that? And you know, that might be true. That may be true in a game, but it's not true in life. It may be true. You might have another chance to make that three-pointer. You might have another chance to take on your opponent. You might have a chance to block the Hail Mary as it's thrown over your head, or they win in overtime, and next thing you know, you're devastated. There might be another time, but there may be another time in life for you to experience a victory. So it's important, every minute that you have in your lifetime, it's important to count for Jesus Christ. I'm finding it more and more, Brother Ken, in my life that it's not all about me anymore, about having fun anymore. Amen. It's not all about every movie that I must see. Right. It's not about every basketball game that I must play. It's not about every entertainment value I can. It's about learning to please Jesus Christ with my life. Amen. To live set apart, to live holy, to live consecrated to the Lord. That's what I'm learning as I get older, Brother Black. I don't care as much anymore for the amusements of this world. I want to go ahead and please my Heavenly Father. Amen. And it's taken some time to do that. I mean, I messed around through Bible college. So thank God I was able to graduate. Thank God I was able to get some doctrine deep down in my... Thank God I was able to get rooted in the Bible. But now as I'm looking at the bigger picture, that Jesus Christ is worth going ahead and sacrificing some worldly entertainments.
Yeah.
You say, I don't want to hear that this morning. God bless you. Just hang on. We're going to get on with it. What I'm saying to you this morning is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't think about the newest video game out in the market. He didn't think about the Colosseum where Romans were killing one another as people bet on them anymore. What he did was he thought about the bigger picture. He thought about a little bus kid named George Mitchell. And boy, you need to get your mind off of your worldly goals. By the way, I am for goals. But I'm saying get your mind off that and start incorporating in your life more spiritual goals.
Amen.
That right there, the Bible says, walk after the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We don't have any Spirit-filled Christians in our churches anymore because we're worried too much of the entertainment value and factor of what this world has to offer. Hello?
Yeah.
Amen, bro.
So if you will, let's turn here to Judges chapter 1. I'm trying to help you this morning. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into the lot." So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into the hand, and they slew of them Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adoni Bezek in Bezek. And they fought against him. They slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And Adoni Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adoni Bezek said, 70 kings have their thumbs and their great toes cut off. Gather them meat under my table. I have done so. God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Michael Shane, pray for me this morning. Amen. I want you, if you will, picture with me in your mind that you've just been invited to a royal banquet under King Adoni Bezek. And you're there and you walk in and there's a spread, and almost any kind of food that you could think of is sitting on that table. First of all, how awesome would it be to be asked to come to a royal banquet? I'm sure you would have your best clothes on. You'll probably have your everything just properly correct, just like if, although you may not agree with them or not, if you met the President of the United States, you would try to look the best you can because we respect the position. Hello, I'm telling the truth now. By the way, why is it that you would look so good for the President of the United States and not for Jesus Christ? As we're moving on. All the food's on the table, everything's spread, and you begin to realize there's some weird stuff. There's a ton of men chained down there by the table of this king. And the king, to his own excitement to himself, to self-experiences of happiness, he begins to throw these men meat. And they sit there and they fight over the meat, but you notice something really weird about it. They have no thumbs and they have no toes. He said, what a weird place to be in. What is going on here? This king has got these men, as he laughs at them, as he humiliated them, as they sit there under his table, and now there's fightings for scraps. That's just a weird picture to envision. You see something different about them as they fight for the food. Who are these men? The Bible says in verse 7, And Adoni Bezek said, 70 kings have their thumbs and their great toes cut off. Gather them meat under my table. As I have done so, God hath requited me. So you have these kings here. You have 70 kings that were captured by this king here. And these kings here, they're in a state of defeat. They're defeated kings. We don't know how they became defeated. We don't know how they were captured. They could have been ambushed. They could have been outmanned. They could have been outsmarted. They could have been unarmed. But we know that these kings are underneath this king's table. And they have no thumbs and they have no toes. Whatever reason the battle took place, they were defeated. It's over with. The battle's done. And this king was victorious. This king is a heathen king. They were told to go take over this king. They're told to kill the Canaanites here. They were dethroned this morning. These kings were now dethroned. These were meant to rule. They were of a royal blood, and now they have no throne to rule, and now they're on their ground underneath the king's table. They were disabled. They had no thumbs. They couldn't hold a sword in battle anymore. They couldn't grasp a sword. They had no toes. They couldn't stand up. They couldn't walk or run like normal people. Now, I tell you, I battled this year. I have a problem with my big toe that it hurts so bad, so I have arthritis in it. And the doctor told me I'm going to have this thing fused together. So I know how hard it is just to have an aching toe. I couldn't even imagine not having a great toe. They couldn't hold swords. They could not run. They could not stand because they're missing these things. They were disabled. They were disgraced. this morning as we read about these kings. Their disgrace as they're on the ground there, wallowing around on the floor. They are now disgraced. There's no grace in them. At once they may have walked in their own throne room, and people may have bowed down to them, and people may have worshipped them as king and gave them all respect they could. Now they're wallowing on the ground, on the floor, as this king laughs in mockery and throws them meat for them to fight over. Why are these men there? Because they were defeated. The corresponding Christian, that's us. In Revelation 1:16, the Bible says, Christ had made us kings and priests unto God. So I want to let you know that our position this morning is kings and priests. We are of royalty this morning. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are royalty. Amen. You better act like it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's what you are this morning. And you act like a heathen dog that should be underneath the table of a king feeding you scraps. Yeah. Are you with me this morning? I'm talking about you are kings. You're of royalty, the Bible says. And it mentions it multiple different places. But you ain't living that way. You ain't living the way of a king this morning. You're living the way of a peasant. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it, the lust thereof. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now I realize this before we go any further. I am not teaching sinless perfection. I am not teaching that you don't have to confess your sins, because only a fool would believe you should not confess your sins. Hello? Amen and amen. And by the way, the reason why I said that is because that's sweeping through this country right now, and it's wrong. It's dead wrong. And it doesn't line up with the authorized version, the King James Bible, and what we stand upon. Amen and amen, and God bless you. I will never make any apology for the King James Bible. I will not back down to the King James Bible. I will not sit it down. I will not change my lifestyle and get away from the King James Bible. I stand on the Word of God, the end. Amen. By the way, that is my final authority. If the Bible says I shouldn't do it, I'm going to try as hard as I can not to do that. Do I always make the right decisions? Not always, but I'm going to try. I'm going to purpose in my heart even more now to follow the Bible where God wants me to, because I'm a king and I'm of royalty and I should live that way. Hello. Amen. I'm trying to help you this morning. You listening now? I'm talking about your kings. You're of royalty. You're a king's kid this morning. Amen? But yet, although we hear these verses, yet many Christians allow sin to rule them. And that's where many Christians are become defeated this morning. There's many Christians, matter of fact, if we're to be honest here this morning, please pay attention to me this morning. I want to help you, okay? I'm not trying to be ignorant to anyone here, but I want to help you this morning, because there's so many Christians in our church, not the one down the road, not the one up the road, not the one 45 miles away from here. I'm talking about in our churches today, right here, that are defeated. They're living a defeated life.
Yeah. Amen.
And there's no reason as a king's kid. There's no reason to have your face dragging on the ground. You should have the joy, 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 joy down in your heart. We learn these things from a basic age growing up in church. We learn about these songs, Father Abraham, and all these exciting songs that when we were kids, we're happy to sing them. As we get older, we want to drown them out with the wickedness of this world's music. Hello? Am I doing all right? Many Christians are defeated. Some have been ambushed. Some have been ambushed this morning. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let me just say one thing right now, is the devil has many years of pulling down great men and women. And you're no different to him. You're just a notch on his belt, maybe a star in his lapel. That's all you are. Just remember that right now. He loves to take down kids of royalty, grown-ups of royalty. He loves to destroy royalty this morning. Pastor always says it all the time. The devil can't get your soul, but he can go ahead and destroy your testimony and your body. Hello? They may have been ambushed. Some have been outmanned. Some have been outmanned. We try to fight Satan alone, and we are no match for him. And Ephesians chapter 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I don't care who you are, you can't take on the devil alone. That's why it's so important to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. That's why it's so important for us not to lay out of church on Wednesday night. I'm going to say it again to help y'all out. It's so important for you not to lay out of church on Wednesday night, because that's when the men and women of God come together and begin to pray for the needs that you bring before the church. Where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. And we don't want that, because we are too consumed with our defeated life, where we don't want to live the victorious life. We don't want to live like a child of God. We don't want to live like royalty.
Amen.
So we just neglect the house of the Lord, even on a Wednesday night. Where it should, in my opinion, I love Sunday mornings. Boy, I love them. But Wednesday night is when it really comes to full effect of how a Christian life should be, for praying for one another. Let me just say another thing as well. If you're not praying for your Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know if you're the same royalty that I am.
Amen.
Is it okay this morning?
Yeah.
All right. Some of you have been outsmarted. Christians have been outsmarted. In Ephesians chapter 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the wiles of the devil. I mean, these are basic. I have not got anything deep at all here. You're learning stuff where we learn about the armor of God. Every Sunday school across America teaches that. Why don't we apply it?
Amen.
Why don't we apply the whole armor of God?
Yeah.
Some have been unarmed. Some have been unarmed this morning. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Some of y'all have been disarmed this morning. What I mean is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, right? And we fight it by the sword that we're able to hold. But as we find out, these men have lost their thumbs, where they can no longer grasp the sword in their hands. We find in the Old Testament where a man fought that his hands clave to a sword. They wrapped around it so tight that he had to pull them apart and almost break them to get the sword out of his hands. But now we don't have Christians that will grab the sword because their thumbs are torn off.
Yeah.
Are you with me this morning? Many have been dethroned. We are meant to rule and reign in Christ. That's what we are supposed to do. That's our position as royal priesthood. That's our job, but we don't do that anymore. So many of us have now been dethroned. We don't have nothing to stand upon anymore. And by the way, I'm not saying that you're better than anybody else. I'm just preaching a message on our position that we should hold. And my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I get that. All the power that God has ever given me is borrowed. I acknowledge who is the supreme in my life, and it's not George Mitchell. So don't get that twisted where George thinks he's better than somebody else, because I realize it. One day that I know if Jesus Christ were to come down, my face is on the ground. Because there's nothing inside of me this morning that does anything without Jesus Christ. I move and I breathe and I have my being only because of him. I'm trying to help you this morning, because so many people are living a prideful, defeated life. They're so prideful. They don't want help. They don't want encouragement. They want to walk the way that they want to walk, how they want to walk, and they're walking defeated lives. Many Christians have been disabled. Just like I was just alluding to it, just like the ability to lose their hand on their sword. Not only that, they're losing their ability to stand on their own feet. When they don't have I realize this right here, the balls of your feet are so important when you walk. And I realize if you don't have no stability in your toes and things of that nature, it's easier for you to be pushed over. So when the devil were to walk by, it's almost pushing you over at ease, just a, and there you fall over. Because you no longer have anything to stand upon. You have nothing to stand upon. You have no base. Matter of fact, if we were to go further than that right there, if I go up and down the church and I ask you mild questions of the Bible, I would almost venture to say that we would probably have a less than 50% success rate on you answering them correctly.
Yep.
Is it okay to say that this morning? I'm not hurting you at all. I'm trying to encourage you to open your eyes up that we need to be more aware. As we move down, this Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to, as a roaring lion, seek you may devour. Many Christians have now been disgraced. Many Christians have now been disgraced. And this is the sad part about it. Not only are you defeated, you're dethroned, you're disarmed, but now you're disgraced. You ever been around a Christian that may have done some great things for God that now has just ruined their whole entire testimony in their life, and they now are nothing? They're defeated and they're also disgraced because people know everything they've done. You've been around them before?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate it. I know we're supposed to restore such a one, but the one has got to restore himself to Christ first. There's something about getting right with God this morning. There's something about confessing your sins. There's something about surrendering to God where you'll get that victorious life, but you're not going to get it unless you do it. By the way, some of you will just turn this message off, walk out the door like you never heard it, and you'll never in your lifetime experience a victory that God wants to give you.
Amen.
You lose your testimony when you're disgraced. You know, you don't behave like a Christian. Listen now. This is for you. You don't behave like a Christian. You don't look like one. But you don't want to look like one either.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. You wear the shirts and the stuff of this world that promote everything else but Jesus Christ, but scarce to find a shirt that has a cross on the front of it. You don't want to look like a Christian anymore. You don't want to talk like a Christian anymore. You don't want to look like, you don't want to talk like, and you surely don't want to act like a Christian anymore. I realize you can have fun, and I believe, I love having fun, but there's a time that you have to cut off fun. Because fun is not going to give you a victory. A laugh will not give you a victory. Just because you crack a joke doesn't give you a victory this morning. You might have a laugh where somebody smiles for a season, but it won't sustain you any length of time at all. And you need to realize that there's a bigger picture. This morning, what we do is we travel out to the movies as Christians, as many as we possibly can get. I won't listen to wicked music. I won't turn on the rock and the rap and the country, but it's all through the movies that we watch as well. Hello?
Yeah, right.
We'll preach about the music all day long, but boy, we have no problem with any movie that comes in our house. As parents, our job is to check that at the door. That's not coming in here. That's getting turned off now. It's okay, you parents, to say no. It's okay for you parents to go over there and pick up their child's phone and look what they've been looking at. That's fine, by the way. That's within your right. You will not be locked up for that.
Amen.
Hello, knocking on your door this morning. Christians that come in here pious as they can, we got our suits on, we got our shoulders back, we look like we got the part, but man, we don't want nobody to see our phone. We guard it with our life. If the phone's sitting there on the ground, we knew that we left our phone here this afternoon. Knowing we're coming back to church, we got to run and race back as fast as we can so nobody opens up and sees what's in there. Yeah. Can I say that?
Amen.
I'm talking about Christians have been disgraced. Amen. Their testimony. You know what you'll do, though, is you'll put on a front and a fake facade for every person around you. But for Jesus Christ, you don't care.
Yeah, right.
Don't care. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks in your heart. This morning, God's looking in your heart. And you haven't had victories. You're living a defeated life. You're living a life of just, why am I here? Maybe some of you even contemplated suicide. Hello? I'm talking to Faith Baptist Church where we preach and teach the King James Bible. Some of you guys aren't living like kings and royalty. Happy Valentine's Day. The life of our liberating Lord. What more can I say as we begin to brag on him? You want to be freed from that? You want to be freed from your addiction this morning? You want to be freed from your sin? You want to overcome the world? Well, it's simple. You have a liberating Lord. Although he stands for truth and he will not back down from the Old Testament and the New Testament, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong, and you can't change his mind. However, you have a liberating Savior that said, I died for him, and because of my righteousness, they can be made clean.
Amen.
We have, listen now, please listen to this. You have no excuse on earth to be led away by the devil. None. There's no excuse you can say. You can say, well, brother, my life is this. And you know what? I hear it all the time. Brother Josh, I'm just going to be honest with you. I hear it all the time. My dad's a drunk. My dad's a drunk. He drunk himself blind. You can say, hey, I've been molested. It happens all the time. That's as far as we're going with that. But that's not an excuse to turn your back on Christ.
Amen.
That's not an excuse. That's not an excuse. Jesus Christ is a liberating Lord that can break any chains of addiction, and he can take you from the lowest pits of hell to the highest courts in heaven. Hello?
Amen.
Boy, that should make you shout this morning. Yeah. You know, as you walk around there, there's people that would shake and quiver for that one more drink where God can deliver you from the alcohol. Hello? Yeah. Some may shake and shiver there, having withdrawals from that heroin, whatever else it might be. God, because he's a liberating Savior, can break the chains of addiction, and you can live like the priest and the king that you're supposed to be. Amen. Why in the world will you want to put yourself in bondage this morning? Yeah. Am I okay, Brother Mike? Why would you want to put yourself in bondage to that? I'm just having a good time. I'm just watching a movie. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me. Nobody will know. It'll not change the way I act. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You start putting something in your eye gate. You watch how defiled you'll become. Watch how insensitive you will become to the Christians that walk up and down the road. I mean, the lost folks that walk up and down the road because you're too worried and consumed about your defeated life. It doesn't happen to me. Just go ahead and write it down. February in 2016, it won't happen to me. Please write that down today. Three things to remember about Satan. Satan has a definite fact. He's not a mythological character. He's not just a fierce or an influence. He's a real person this morning. He has a life, he has intelligence, he has a will, and he has feelings. And the devil wants to destroy you. Right. Satan is a destructive force. He has torn apart families left and right. Right. Satan, however, is a defeated foe. Amen. Right. Satan is a defeated foe. Yeah. I said Satan is a defeated foe this morning. Amen. So how do you get the victory? And 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You can be an overcomer because Jesus Christ overcame the world. We're almost finishing up here. It's almost over. I hope you're getting it this morning. You are a royalty. You are a king, and you are a priest. Act like it. Amen. Victory doesn't come by resolving. And victory doesn't come from renouncing. Victory doesn't even come from rededicating. Victory doesn't come by regretting. This morning, you know what? There might be an invitation, and I would encourage every person. Why I do this is for you to get help. The why I get up here, I don't care if you come up to me and say, great job, or whatever it might be. My job as a preacher to get rid of myself and say, God, use me to help these people in this church. So this morning, you may get out of your seat, and you may come to the altar, and you may get some help from God, but just not make it a rededication this morning. Make it a whole change in your lifestyle. You know what? People get emotionally charged up about a lot of things. You can go see a gospel song that get in your emotions. And by the way, I'm an emotional person. I got one, brother, but thank you. I'm an emotional person. I'm an emotional in church. I'm an emotional way I talk. I'm an emotional way I play basketball. I am an emotional person, so I am fine with emotions. Yeah. But my emotions right there don't ever come fact. Right. And the Word of God is fact. Outside of Christ this morning, there is no victory. There's none. There's no excuse for being overcome by Satan this morning, not one. In John 16:33, the Bible says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace in the world, and you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Your enemy is defeated, and Christ has given you the answer. And if you will, as we close here, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you will, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting is death of sin, and the strength is sin of the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, whatever victory that you might need, you can get it in Jesus Christ. If you have a problem with music, you can get victory through Jesus Christ. If you are shy, you can get victory through Jesus Christ. If you have a problem, again, I'll say it again, with pornography or whatever else it might be out there, you can have victory in Jesus Christ. If you have a problem with alcohol or anything, you can have victory in Jesus Christ. The question is, do you want that victory? Do you want to live like a king's kid? Do you want to live a royalty? Or you just want to walk around with no thumbs and no toes this morning, sitting underneath the devil's table as he makes fun of you, being captive by him at his will. Yeah. Would you stand up, please? Close your eyes. No one looking around. You know what to do this morning? I'm not going to prod and poke you. If God spoke to your heart, get out of your seat and go ahead and do business with God. And there's people coming. Why don't you get serious with God and start getting victories in your life? Get victories where God has promised to give you victories this morning. You said, I haven't had a victory in a long time. Hey, this morning, why don't you get that victory? You have a bad attitude all the time. Why don't you get victory over your attitude? But again, like I said, you'll have no victory unless you have Jesus Christ. I want you to think about yourself and analyze yourself closely. Say, Brother George, I'm not saved. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I surely don't want to die and go to hell. I want the victory over death. Would anybody here raise their hand and say, I'm not saved? Would you pray for me? I'll give you a sec. One hand over here in the back. One hand in the back. With that one hand, no one looking around. Would you look up to me to raise your hand? Would you allow somebody to take a Bible and show you how to get saved and trust Jesus Christ? Hey, Brother Ken, this fellow right here in the back, would you talk to him? He wants to know about Jesus Christ and how to get the victory. You say, hey, Brother George. You say, I need victory in my life. Is there anybody like that this morning who will raise their hand and say, I need victory in my life? Oh, they're all across the room. You know how to obtain this victory. Why don't you step out of your seat and say, God, today is the day that I'm going to get the victory you promised I can have. How about this? Brother, if you want to step back there to the back, he's in a white shirt. Yes, sir. Okay. Today, I want to ask you a question. How many of you guys have not been living like royalty? Would you raise your hand? There's hands again all across the room. And it's easy. The antidote is the Word of God and getting real with Jesus Christ. And you've heard enough preaching to know better. While today you obtain that victory that God's given you, He's already defeated your foe. I'll give some time to these folks. There should be a never time in your life that you're overcome by Satan. Sorry. I know we're flesh. I realize there's temptation at every corner. But he's a defeated foe this morning. Don't leave the same way you came. That victory. Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, man. Amen. Still time for you. So a few people praying. You want to get that victory? Surrender. Give up. Amen, brother. What happened to you? You asked the Lord to save you?
You just
accepted the Lord. Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. What does that mean, he accepted the Lord? What does that mean?
Bringing them into my heart.
Amen, brother.
Making changes in my life.
Amen, brother.
I've been through a lot. I mean, a lot of people around here don't know what I've done. I'm bad. I mean, I've done a lot of bad things.
What you've done. God has delivered you such a
good. Just glad, you know, I found a good place to come.
Amen, brother.
The Lord's house.
Well, praise the Lord. What's your name, brother?
Chris.
Chris, y'all, DeLon. Before this night, the day's over, why don't you shake Chris's hand?
Amen.
King's kid.
Amen.
Royal family. There's one being dealt with in the back room. Let's go ahead and pray and let's be dismissed. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we can get the victory through you, not through our own strength. God, we can overcome the temptation of this world by you. And help us to realize that, God, that no weapon formed against us, God, It's only by you and your grace. God, I thank you for the day. Help us to think about these things. And dismiss us now with your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Y'all dismiss in the fear and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.